Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
You look great. Did you take a dip in Mother Lake?
What is Mother Lake?
It's what, like?
Is it like tough water?
No.
So how you finish off a tough mother?
No. It's what like gay people say when they see like the women. Do you know what I mean? Like if they saw like...
No, they don't.
I swear. I'm telling you right now. If you see them in the comments of like...
Did you take a dip in Mother Lake?
Yeah, say, this is a bad example, but like Gemma Collins is on a stage and like she looks really, really good. And then you comment to be like, took a dip in Mother Lake. Or like, try not to say Mother Challenge. Jervis Emerald is like, she's my mother.
I know the mother thing, but I've never heard of Mother Lake.
Do you know like Mother Superior Lake? Wherever that is in America.
All right. No, anyway, I knew that was a joke. You complimented me with a smirk and it was the worst ever. I was like, where is this going?
How you finish off tough mutter? Oh my god.
You're listening to Bandwagons.
Talking about things that other people are talking about.
Welcome back to Bandwagons. Very happy to have you all here. I'm here with Breed.
Welcome back to my kitchen.
Welcome back to Breed's kitchen.
With the Dancing Queen.
Where'd with the that? Dancing Queen. This ABBA. Is official ABBA merch, actually, would you believe?
Is it good?
Dancing Queen, young and sweet, only 17. I kind of stretched the neck out of it.
I was going to say, it doesn't look like really official merch. Looks like a Penny's version of official merch.
She's a bit of a bitch now. It does look a bit Penny's-ish, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I like it.
Anyway, how are you?
Good.
Did you go to Harry Styles?
No, I was going to say, where were you in Ireland went to Harry Styles?
Yeah, I couldn't face Lane.
Yeah.
Because Kate, like, a load of our gang got tickets when it went on sale, and then they all ended up selling them, and I think only a few of them went then. And then, obviously, a load of people had tickets up for sale this week.
Yeah. That's what like, would there would have been a ticket, like, if you wanted it.
Would I? I just, even seeing the crowds leaving, I was like, now, I was living for, like, the social media coverage and everyone's outfits and stuff. Yeah. I was like, I'm getting the serotonin that I probably would have gotten from being there.
Yeah.
Through my little screen, which is great, without having to deal with crowds.
That is you all over. That is literally your whole life.
All I need is the serotonin pinging through my little screen. I'll come back when he does fucking Croke Park or something.
Yeah. Because I didn't realise how big Slane was. You might as well have been standing in our garden watching it. Like, you know, he's like... You're just looking on the screen, really.
Unless you were in those, like, gold circle tickets or whatever. It's like...
And they were probably crazy, were they?
Some people on the hill had, like, a good vantage point, but also... Now, I don't think it rained that badly, but it did rain. What are you laughing at?
It's just not a good sentence either. Like, I don't think it rained that much.
No, but, you know, but I was seeing people, like, sitting in the ponchos for, like, a few hours or whatever, and I was like, nah.
Yeah, no.
Nah. Nah. Nah.
And the whole half an hour walk from the car park.
Nah, 45 minutes, like. It's 45 minutes to an hour, like.
Is it?
Do you know when we were talking about when you did the Beyonce episode and you were like, what artist would you go abroad for? I'm like, more importantly, what artist would you go to Slane for? Because I'm like, I don't know if I could...
I was reading a whole thing, like, I stupidly am in the, are you in the Maz Who Rant on Facebook group?
Maz Who Rant, no. It's I'm barely Maz even on Facebook anymore,
it's so toxic. It's the worst group I've ever been in the world, but I love it. And there was like, there was people giving out, there was like a whole, like a bus that broke down going back to Waterford, and like they all had to get picked up in Mount Mellick, and like anyone that couldn't get picked up had to like just wait it out until they got a new bus to swap over, and some people didn't get back to Waterford till like 8:30 this morning and all. Just the whole idea of like getting back. I was like, how do people get back to a bus? Like, how do they know where the bus is? How does the bus know when everyone's on and like that they're not waiting for someone? And then like the whole logistics of everything just really made me really nervous.
Stressful. Yeah, no, I couldn't be dealing with that.
Is he mother? Can we call him mother?
Is he? No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't do that. No. Daddy? Not during Pride. Daddy. Yeah. I know that's very like gender binary. What's the word? Yeah, gender binary, which we also should be throwing out the window for, but I don't think we call Harry Styles mother, you know?
Okay.
Who do we call mother?
We don't call anyone mother.
Speak for yourself.
It's not
call.
Well, you can have it.
Who do I call? Who do I call mother? Do you know Charlie XCX? Is mother?
Yeah.
Oh, we are massively alienating our LGBTQ plus fan base. They are like, we thought we were here for a good time, and I am here being pandered to.
I keep saying to Mark, it's Marky Baby, and he doesn't get the reference. And I'm like, you know, Charlie XCX, and he's just
Charlie Baby.
Yeah, I was like, you should go, it's Marky Baby, and he's like, no.
But in what context would he be saying that?
I don't know. Just
generally,
just
to greet people.
The house, like, I don't know.
It's Marky Baby. How was Nora's first birthday? Great. What was her?
We have not recorded since.
No, we had to record a little bit in advance because I was in golf for the long weekend.
Oh yeah, it was good.
What was her pit and peak of the birthday party and pit and peak of being alive for a year?
Oh God, how long have you got? Her pit and peak of the birthday
her
party.
Her pit and peak now, not yours.
Well, her yeah. So pit and peak of the birthday party. She, so I planned the party pit. I'll do the pit first. Planned the party around her general nap times, but she's on like, it's not like, ooh, 11 o'clock every single day. It's like, depends on when she wakes up. Mm. So I planned the party, this is so boring, based around the time when she's normally awake between her naps. And that morning she woke up late. So her nap time was like at the time the party was supposed to start. So she couldn't have her nap. So she was just really tired and cranky for the whole nap. Nice. So that was her pit. And then her peak was, I don't know, she got so many good presents.
Yeah.
Look at this, she has like Barbie's dream house.
Yeah, I love the house, love the gaff.
She got a house, she got a slide, she got a swing, we got her a pool. She just got so much stuff. She got a really cute animal bus.
Good haul.
She got a bluey cake.
Loved the cake, yeah.
Roisin, the girl who made it, literally had surgery on Wednesday or whatever, made the cake on Friday, like pretty major surgery. And like brought it to the party and was at the party on Sunday. I was like, what are you doing here? You're insane. Go home.
Cake looked class. We linked it on the last Patreon episode in the post, but I'll leave it in the notes below again if anyone wants the cake. And the
she did
what
a
areas
cake.
Did she do?
She did a Wicklow, Wexford, probably. Cool. I don't know, Carlo. I don't know how far she'll go. She did a wedding cake like the day after she got home from hospital or something. Like insane. And she's supposed to be on 2 week bed rest or something crazy.
Yeah, she needs to go back to bed. Don't insane. Be ordering cakes. Insane. Let her sleep for 2 weeks and then order a cake.
Yeah. So it was great. 1-year-old's birthday parties are so stressful. I didn't realise how stressful children's birthday parties are because you're not pandering to the child, you're pandering to everyone else who's coming to see the child.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying, isn't it? Like,
yeah. And you can't just like not do it because everyone's like, oh, why didn't you give her a birthday party?
Yeah. You can't win.
You can't win.
I feel like that's the thing I'm learning about
parenting.
Knowing mothers and parenting, it's like whatever you do, you're fucked because people are the worst ever. Like,
yeah, that's basically the topic of the theme for this week's episode.
Having a baby, a bandwagon indeed, a bandwagon indeed. Because we talked about it when we started again and about the major life events that all of us have been through. And I had done the house, and you evacuated a child and have successfully kept one alive, which is more impressive. And then we put it to people, and people had a lot of questions.
Yeah, it's I was kind of flip flopping about doing this because I tried to do a Patreon about it, and it's just like one of those topics where I will never feel qualified to talk about it because like,
does anyone though?
But like, oh, I don't know how many people can be like mommy bloggers because it's like, come on, and you go, this is what we do, or this is how. Like, or like, you know, those like sleep, you probably don't, but like, there's all these like sleep training.
Oh, yeah.
Mommy,
yeah.
Like Instagrams or whatever. And I'm like, how do you have the confidence to come on here and be like, this is how you do it when like nobody knows what they're doing or how to do it, is what I've learned. Because before I was just like, oh yeah, I'll rebrand, I'll do like, fucking, I'll make, like, this is what I'm into now, I'm going to do all mummy content all the time. People will find it interesting, but like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
But you always wanted to be a mum. Like, as long as I've known you, like, yeah. You and I had another friend growing up, and she is my age, and she has two kids now. And I remember, like, doing, I'm not going to name her, obviously, like, whatever, but like, I remember doing PE with her and her explicitly being like, I can't wait to be a mom, or like,
yeah.
I can't remember the specific conversation, obviously, but like, it just being constantly like about can't wait to have kids and stuff. And as long as I've known you, you've been the same.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but I've never really had like major career goals, which is just like, you know, like people have like, you know, this, like have a dream job in their head. I was always like, I'll do whatever for a while. And then I'll like eventually just have kids and that'll be like what I do in life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, if it's really like, I don't know, whatever else about it, like, if I die tomorrow, I'll have done it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I did it.
Okay, please don't say that.
No, but you know what I mean? Like, I've achieved it now. Yeah. Even though, like, I'm in the fucking throes of it and all, like, I keep reminding myself, we did it. Like, you're doing it. Mm. And you did it. And at least you did it.
Every day, yeah.
At least you did it. Yeah. Now, because, like, who the fuck knows in 10 years' time? Which is kind of the reason why we did it now. Like, who knows?
Were you always thinking... around now in terms of like timelines, I'm doing heavy inverted commas there because what the fuck is a timeline for anyone, you know?
I don't know, because when I met Mark, like that was the thing, one of the things we matched over was like, he was just like, I just really, really want to be a dad. And I was like, yeah, I really want to be a mom. And we're like, what are we waiting for? Like, because like shit had happened in like our personal lives where we were just like, anything could go on at any minute. So like, let's just do it and like figure it out as we go.
Yeah.
So like, I didn't really have a timeline in my head because like, obviously I met Mark and it happened very fast. So I wasn't like, I have to have a baby before I'm 28. It didn't happen like that. But I would rather, I've seen, like, I know how tricky it is for people the longer you leave it. And I've seen that like in like people I know and how much easier it is to do it younger. So while we had like the facilities to do it younger, we just went for it. I use that word way too flippantly. Faculties, I started saying.
Faculties.
Mental faculties.
Yeah, no, that makes it. But I think it's important to say that, like, because I think people don't get the context of, well, like, look, there's a part of me that's like, or I feel like when you were on about like trying and like wanting to have a baby, I was like, what the fuck? But that was, it was just, from my perspective, I couldn't have imagined it for me. And I think my issue, or like the thing was that like I was projecting that onto you when it was like you and Mark have all this context that like I don't understand, and that lived experience that I don't understand. Yeah. That it's like, it makes sense to you. And also that's all that matters. It doesn't matter that I'm sitting here being like, well, I couldn't possibly fucking do this now. Well, you don't have to because it's, you're having the baby. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but like I was the same with you when you were like, me and Keen are going to buy a house. We've never lived together. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
I know,
like,
well, thank fuck we didn't do that. Jesus Christ, we would have bricked each other in the head.
Do you know what I mean? Like everyone has their own like,
I know, but I feel like
it's doing big life.
But I feel like it's especially around like babies and having them like, did you feel judged at all?
Like probably more from strangers on the internet than people who knew me, because people who knew
us, they don't count. Fuck them.
People who knew us knew like that was what we wanted and what we were like. Mm. That's just the type of people.
But again,
we were.
That's what I'm saying. It was like all that context. Like no, they don't fucking know that because they're just like what they see one thing online and it's like, and they have all these opinions. And again, it's probably because it's something that they wouldn't do or they're not ready for.
Yeah,
and they're projecting and being like,
there was a lot of shit. I don't look at it anymore. But there was people.
Do not.
No, I don't. I genuinely don't. Because like, where was it getting me? But there was a lot of people being like, wow, like I really hope her family will support her, and like I hope they're like her friends are there when like Mark leaves her and all this, like as if it was like accidental and that like I like a lot of shit. And I was just like, where's your context for this? Like, what are you basing this off? Like that I just got pregnant on a one night stand and now he has to stay with me? Like, I don't understand. Jesus, which probably Christ. Like from the outside we were together not that long, like
I know, what but a like, horrible but thing to put out into the world.
Massive
like.
Assumptions. Like, I really hope her family are supporting her. Like, I feel so bad for her that she has to move back to Gorey. I was like, these are all decisions that I've consciously chosen to make and do. And, like, I understand why it seems wild because I don't go on Instagram and go, hi, I'm trying for a baby. But it was crazy. People are crazy.
Anyway, on to a more positive note. Where do babies come from?
No.
Talk to me about the conception.
No.
No, medicine. So, okay, where were you when you found out you were pregnant?
I was in London. In London.
Baby. I think I vaguely remember you telling me this, but obviously the listeners don't know, so...
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it doesn't matter when it was. Like, it lined up with one of your major events. One of your major breakdowns. It was like the same day. That's right. That's when things started to go haywire.
Oh, yeah, no, I was after. Yeah, I think I kind of mentioned this on the first episode when we came back. But like,
I sent you a message or whatever. I was like, I don't remember this message. And I went back to find it. And I was like, literally just when I was pregnant, I was like, so I probably wasn't there for her. I needed to be in that moment.
Yeah, like it was just, like I think I'd locked myself out of the house. I'd locked my keys into my car and I had to go to 6 o'clock show and ended up having to get a taxi and spend money on the taxi and I didn't have that much money and like I had to like Kian needed the car to come back for something and I was like trying to sort of locksmith and he was working and it was like it's not your past. Don't start. We'll talk about it on Patreon. It sounds, obviously, because it's not that bad, whatever, but like, there was just a lot going on and I just found it all like, everything compounds, whatever. Yeah, yeah. And I remember like actually having like a full blown, like, kind of panic attack about the whole thing and being like, this is whatever. And I think we were recording that night, I think. We weren't. If you were in London, then we weren't.
It was like just, I don't know, it could have been like the day before or the day after or something. Same time.
Same week. Anyway. I think we recorded the Nicki Minaj episode or something.
Yeah, anyway. I have no memory of doing a Nicki Minaj episode. And that's now I know why. But anyway, we were going to London. Mark had got me a trip for my birthday to see All Time Low. So we were like just going over for a few nights. And when I was in the airport, I'm just like an anxious flyer anyway. So I was like peeing and I hated, like now I don't care. But like at the time I would never pee on a plane. And I was an hour flight. I don't know. Didn't want the whole hassle of actually having to get up and go in and do the whole thing. I'd rather just not have to. So yeah. I was peeing so much in the airport before we got on the flight. I was like, I'm just going to pee one more time. Peeing. And I thought it was just like me being like nervous that I was going to need to pee on the flight. And then we got to London and there was, I don't know, there, we were like having the time of our lives or whatever. Went to the Lion King, went out for dinner, like had a big bottle of wine. Like we were in the Sky Garden the next day. And I was drinking like a pint of Peroni or something. Like, there was like, I don't know, something stupid. And then I can't remember what I said, but Mark was just like, I think you might be pregnant. And I was like, why? And he was like, I don't know, I've just been watching you. And like, there's just, like, he'd be mad for like watching me and then Googling and like keeping an eye on it. And he was like, I've just been keeping an eye and I just think maybe we should do a test. And I was like, okay. And we did a test and he thought I was joking. Like, I went in the bathroom of the hotel and, it was like one of those digital tests. So it was like loading bar like on it. It was insane.
And that's nuts.
Oh my God.
What?
I was there in like a hotel.
Like a loading screen. Yeah. Like fucking hell.
And I was in like a hotel robe and I was in the bathroom and he was just like on the bed in the room. And I just like gasped really loudly and he thought I was taking the piss. And then I came out and I was just like fully like. And then. Rattling. Yeah. And that was it.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
How was pregnancy?
Rough at the start. I got really bad morning sickness for like 3 weeks. I lost like a stone. No, I lost a lot of weight. Like I'd never, ever been so skinny.
Yeah.
Than when I got pregnant, which is so ironic. I just couldn't eat. Like I was eating like a protein bar a day and like a fucking hit. Like couldn't keep anything down. Like my favorite takeaway, I would just like curl up in a ball in front of and just like lie there. And so the first week eight to week 11 or something, I was just like, never threw up, but like constantly like the worst travel sickness you've ever had. Couldn't go like 2 minutes in a car or I thought I was going to throw up. It was horrible. I got UTIs. I almost had a kidney infection. Like, and this is all before anyone even knows that like you're pregnant. Oh, yeah. So like I was not able to go to work and I was like in bed all day and like, I had to go on like a family trip with Mark's family with a kidney infection and the like no one I was pregnant.
I remember you texted me about this, I think.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I can't drink. I'm on antibiotics for this, but I was in bits and I had like a hot water bottle with me and it was just, nobody knew except his parents. And it was just, it's fine. Like looking back now, it was just like such a minor blip in the whole thing, but like at the time I was like, how does it get worse than this?
Do you know what I think is so funny? Because obviously you were pregnant when we did the last live shows, and like a couple of people said when you announced it, and then a couple of people said it after, and they were like, I knew you weren't drinking at the live shows. I'm like, how the fuck did you notice that? I'll tell you after. This doesn't really matter, but I remember, so there was definitely someone else, but there's one person I remember specifically being like, oh, I copped, like, they're not like really a friend of ours at all. Like, it was just so, like, someone who listens. I was like in the crowd. I was like, how the fuck did you cop that? Like, because you were drinking a Coke, like, so you could have well, but no, you weren't, but you could well been drinking like a vodka. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it was because I gave up caffeine, so I wasn't even drinking like,
oh, maybe you were. Oh, I can't remember what you were, but like that I would not even, none of that should even register with me.
No,
like, and obviously I knew, so like, I knew you weren't drinking.
I think it was probably
like
a 7-Up or something like that. You wouldn't even.
Yeah, probably.
Like, it could have been anything in the glass.
Even before you told me. Now, I hadn't seen you that much in person because we were, like, you were pretty much making the move down to Wexford and, like, I was whatever and it was still fucking COVID or whatever. But I didn't really know, only for the fact that you were, like, wrecked, and there was a couple of things that we had to, like, reschedule because you were, like...
Keane did a lot of episodes, I realised, like, on Patreon and stuff.
Oh, yeah, we did the Succession episode.
I was
just
like, I was like, when did Keane do this? And then I'd look at the date and I was like, obviously, just, like,
incapacitated, or something as well, like, think. Yeah. No, there was a couple of episodes where you were just like, I can't, and I was like, right, okay, let's just draft in breed number two, aka Keane Roach.
There was a moment when we were in Eddie Rockets in, and we'd ordered food, it was taken ages, and I got like the most severe like pain, and like now I know it was like wind pains or like gas, trapped gas or something, but it was like, like I couldn't move with the pain in my stomach, and I was like lying on the table at Eddie Rock was like crying, and the food still hadn't come, and we were there for ages, and Mark was like, let's just go, like, what are we doing? I was in the bathroom at Eddie Rock, it's like, ah.
Is that your trapped gas or the baby's trapped gas?
No, it was mine. Like, this is very early on, like, there's okay. a very little baby, like, yeah, at that stage it was just like whatever was like the, like, I don't whatever know, chemistry or whatever inside me was changing. Yeah. And like, oh my God. And we just had to go. We just like walked out of the Rockets with like no food. We never ate or anything. And just, it was hell. That was really bad. But I remember very little of the last like 2 years.
That's why you said you wanted to do this episode as well. Because you said that you feel like you remember like...
Less and less.
Do you have any weird cravings?
What was my weird cravings? Oh, I used to go and buy birthday cakes. Like, specific birthday cakes from Tesco or whatever. Like, the bakery in Gory makes them, and they're chocolate fudge, and they say happy birthday on them, and they have Smarties Dot around them. And I would eat like,
you
just
the
like
car
work
singing,
away.
Eating them on your own.
I would just like get it, have it, and I'd just work away off it. Because, like, the guilt and shame that is attached to eating food for probably most women was just gone when I was pregnant. Because I was like, I have to eat as many calories as I can. I'm only human. And I was, like, not gaining, like, all my weight was going to the baby. Like, everything I ate was going to the baby. So I had nothing on me. Like, my back, you couldn't tell I was pregnant from behind, or, like, my face or anything. It was just, she sucked everything out of me. And it was, I could eat whatever I wanted, and it was so freeing. So I used to eat, like, a lot of birthday cakes. And I don't know what else. I think birthday cakes, and they asked us at my baby shower, they were like, what's Breed's favourite food? And everyone was just like, birthday cakes or bagels or something, like weird bagels. I can't remember. Cocoa Pops.
Oh, okay.
Lived off Cocoa Pops.
You were mad, like, is there a thing with like sweet things and something of that being associated with
it's
the gender?
Like, no, it's like if you're lacking like magnesium, you'll crave sugar. Okay. And then I was getting like really bad like shooting pains, like cramps in my legs when I was trying to sleep at night, and that was like lack of magnesium as well, so I had to take magnesium and all, like, it's all related.
Did you find out the gender?
Yes, we found out. We weren't going to find out, and we told everyone we weren't finding out, and then like we got an early scan at like 8 weeks, and then we got one at 12, and then at like 16 weeks you can like, it's from 16 weeks on you can find out the gender. So we were like sitting in Mark's house, and it was like we were one day off, 16 weeks or something, and we were like looking, there's a private clinic in Gory for scans, and we were like, we could literally just go tomorrow and find out the gender and not tell anyone. And Mark was like, I've booked it, I've done it, I've just booked. And then we just went and did it. But like, obviously my mom knows, I don't know, she's psychic or something, because we were sitting in my house and I had pictures from the private scan or something I was showing her, and she was just like, why did you get another scan? Like, that's so, like, I was like, oh, I just, you know, I just wanted to see. And she was just like, you know the gender, don't you? And I was like, no. And then Mark was sitting at the kitchen table and my mom says, and she was like, Mark, did you find out the gender? And he was just like, I don't know what to say. And I was like, no, Mark, you say no. And then she was just like, okay, obviously I know. So she knew. And then I think Mark slipped up in front of his mom and said she or something at one point. So she knew, but she never let on.
Mark's
mom
was like,
She never let on that she knew, but she knew the whole time.
Yeah.
So yeah. So we knew the gender.
Let's talk about labor. Can you remember it?
Can I remember the labor? Yeah. Well, I think I can, but obviously I don't remember the parts I don't remember.
How did you, like, yeah, I have another friend who's like, I can't. She's like, she can remember it, but it's like, there's a large section of it that it's like, I was on another planet.
Yeah.
How did you feel going into it? Like, were you scared, nervous, ready, calm?
9 days over.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Ready to go. Yeah. I was like, ready for it at any time. And I was just kind of like, I'd done a lot of like hypnobirthing. I did a hypnobirthing course and I was bet into like the hypnobirthing podcasts. And I was like, I'm just going to go with my mind. Like, my body knows what it's doing. I'm going to breathe through it. And then when you get in there, like, it all goes out the window. But I was like, wasn't really scared for labor because I was like, people a lot, like,
do it literally every day as you're listening to this podcast.
And like, this is someone so silly, is. But like, when I got my tattoos, like, I barely flinched. And she was like, the tattoo girl was like, you must have like a decent pain tolerance.
You do, I think. I don't.
Yeah, so I was just like, well, if I have a decent pain tolerance, like, I'm probably, like, people with less of a pain tolerance do it than me. Yeah. Like, they're fine. They turn out fine. So, like, I'll be grand. And then, so I was 9 days over. It was like the June bank holiday, Saturday night, and we were in bed at 2:30 and I started to get, like, cramps and they were, like, pretty regular. And then I waited, like, 1.5 hours and then I woke Mark and we rang the hospital because they were 5 minutes apart at the start, which isn't, like, we were like, oh my God, it's happening right now.
It should be longer apart, like.
Yeah, and then it gets, like, closer together. But, like, they started off very close together and we didn't know why. So we rang the hospital and they were like, no, you're fine. Like, hang on another few hours, like, and talk to us later today. So that was, like, 5 a.m. and I, like, hung on then to, like, maybe 8. And then Mark rang them again. And I, because I was just panicking. I was just like, I don't want to be here labor. Like, and we're 40 minutes from a hospital. And I was like, I do not want to be in labor on a motorway. In severe, like toe curling pain. I just want to be down there when that happens.
You don't want to be one of the ones that, like, beat or whatever. What's your radio station here that, like, shares on their Facebook page? It's like, Breeda Mark, welcome there, special little girl. And then shout out to the emergency services. Like, obviously, great work, emergency services, every time they do that, but also.
No. And I didn't think it was going to happen like that, but I just didn't want to be, like, I wanted, when the big wave of, like, labor came, I wanted to be in a hospital bed with, like, nurses and doctors and all. But they were, like, not as keen to have me down there for like, a fucking day and a half doing that.
Yeah, the only thing is they probably hear it so much and they know that, like...
Yeah, they knew. They were like, you're not anywhere close. Yeah. So I rang them again at 8:30 or Mark rang when he was just like... And they won't talk. They were like, we have to talk to Breed because, like, they can tell by your voice, like, how bad you are. They can tell, like, if you're not able to, like, speak properly, then you're probably in pretty severe labour. So we went down. They were like, if she's really wants pain relief, like, come down whenever. So we went down at, like, 8:30. And I'd only been, like, having whatever for, like, 6 hours at this stage. But it wasn't still very bad. It was fine. I got up and had, like, a full Irish. And then, like, went to the hospital. Like, I was still fine.
Yeah.
Got down there and they were like, yeah, no, you're nowhere close. Like, you can stay here all day or you can go home for the day and come back, like, when it gets worse.
Yeah,
or, like, you know, walk around, go for a walk, do whatever you want, go to bed or whatever. So they sent us home at 10 o'clock. And then we just spent the whole day, like, I was just like... trying to, like, get through, do things in between contractions. And I remember going to, like, the McDonald's in Mexford Town to use the toilet and, like, in the car, like, having a contraction and then it would pass. Because people don't realise, and I didn't realise, that you have contractions every few minutes and between those contractions you're absolutely fine. Mm. But the contractions get closer together and that's when you're not absolutely fine. But, like, early on, you're absolutely normal and then, like, one will hit and you're, like, incapacitated for a minute or 30 seconds or whatever. So I got to McDonald's and, like, ran to the toilet and tried to, like, get out before another contraction would come. And it was so stressful. So I made it. We went for, like, a walk around the estate and stuff. And we got to, like, 4 o'clock. And I was like, if I can get to 4 o'clock, like, I'm going back. Because it was just biding my time. So we went back down at, like, 4, I think. This was Sunday afternoon, bank holiday Sunday. And they were like, right, well, this is the second time we've come down. We're keeping you now. Like, we're not sending you home again. Mm. Even though they were like, we don't think you're anywhere close. So we hung around and they sent me to the maternity ward to like get comfortable in there. And it got to like half nine or 10. And they gave me Petidine, which is like an injection in your bum, which is supposed to be pain relief. So you can have a little sleep or whatever. So they gave me Petidine and told Mark to go home. They were like, this is going to be a long night. Like, she's nowhere close. Sent him home. And I rolled over and fell asleep for maybe half an hour. And then I woke up in like excruciating pain. And like I was on my side, but like one leg was like shooting up in the air. But like, I was just trying to all contorted, trying to like get through the like contraction. And I was like, didn't want to bother anyone because they told me I was nowhere close. So I was like, okay, I was just going to be like this all night. And I was like, I don't know, maybe 3 centimeters or something. And I was going in and out of the bathroom in the maternity ward. And there's other ladies there who are like not in labor, just like one had a baby. The rest, there was like 2 others that were just there with like, they were pregnant with like kidney infections or something. I don't know. They weren't like in labor and they weren't, didn't have a baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like trying to be quiet and like not disturb anyone. And I was like, walking around. And then one of the midwives came in and she was just like, you need to go down to, like, she was like, get down to the labor ward right now. And I was like, no, I'm fine, I'm fine. And she was like, no. And she was like, we're going to ring your partner to come back. And Mark had literally only got home and, like, lay in bed.
I had to come back.
And they rang him to come back. So we got down. And then you can't get an epidural before you're 5 centimetres. And I think I was almost just at the 5. So when I got back down to the labor ward, I'd, like, shot up, like, loads of centimetres in, like, an hour or something.
Yeah.
And they were ringing your man to come down and do the epidural for me. So when Mark got there, I was, like, over, like, he left me and I was like, like peacefully going to sleep in a bed. And then when he came back, I was like, over the side of a bed. And he walked in and they were literally about to do the epidural. And he had like no like build up to it. He just like walked in to like a totally different setup than he left. And he had to come over and hold my hand. And when they're doing your epidural, you cannot move like even a centimeter.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like really, because it's in your spine and they're putting like a tube into your spine. But you're in so much pain that like you can't, like it's so hard to stay still. So Mark came over in front of me and like knelt down and I was like holding his hand or whatever. And then he got up and he went over and like picked up his fucking Pepsi or something and started drinking it and sat in the chair. And I was like, what are you doing? Get back over here. And then he came back and he was just like really quiet. And I was like pinching the bed sheets, like putting all my pain into like this little pinch on the bed sheets. And I felt like something went to my spine or whatever, or something came over me. And I just kind of thought that was it. And I went, oh, and I kind of relaxed a little bit. And your man went mad doing the epidural. He was like, you moved. Remember that. You moved. You moved. And Mark was like, in his head, he was like, that's it. She's fucking paralyzed. Like, it's game over. And I was just like, I was high as a kite on whatever. I was sucking gas and air. Like, la, 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 la. Best thing ever. I was talking absolute gibberish. I was like, it tastes like nightclub shots and all. Like, I was like in a, on a whole different planet. Whatever was in, like, the gas and air tasted like shots.
Ooh, Mickey Finn's. And Mickey then Finn's, gas and air.
Mark, at the time, I realised, or afterwards, he told me when he went over to sit in the chair, he was fainting and he, like, tried to get, like, some sugar and, like...
Mark was?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
While I was getting the epidural. And I was, like, shouting at him to, like, come back and hold my hand.
Ah, here, Horatio, no, look.
And, so it was fine. I wasn't paralysed. And he ended up like the epidural was fine. But your mom was so mean. And he came in and then I was fine then once that went in because it literally takes everything away, all your pain away. And Mark got me a Snickers or something out of the bag. And your man was like, what do you have? And I was like, a Snickers, you want one? And he was like, no, like you can't eat on this or like it might react with the epidural. And I was like, have a Snickers. And Mark was like, Brian, I don't think he's asking for a Snickers. I was just on like a different planet. And then that was fine. But like, oh, I got to go to sleep then. That was maybe like 1:30. I got to go to sleep for a few hours. And they told me, I can't remember actually what time it was. It was sometime in the middle of the night. I got to go to sleep. And when I woke up, they were going to like burst my waters if they hadn't gone. And then we were going to start pushing at like whatever time. I think we started pushing at 7 or something. So I woke up at like whatever time and they broke my waters and there was meconium in the waters, which is like basically like it's baby's poo. Like if she's in, oh, if she's overdue or whatever, like all the waste, I don't really know, gets mixed up with the waters. And right. If they breathe it in, it's not great. And
yeah.
Like, so her heart rate started to drop when that happened. So they were like, right, we just need to go now and like push or whatever. And I could have this in the wrong order, but this is how I remember it. So we started pushing.
I'm not going to correct you. Like I wasn't there.
So yeah, it's just like there's definitely funny. Some big gaps in this timeline, but. Started pushing at 7 and like my epidural had like kicked in so much that I literally could not feel a thing from my waist down. I was like, they kept being like, push down into your bum. And I was like, it's like asking me to push out of your bum. Like, it's there's no connection between here and there. Like, I can't. So I thought, like, I was trying to do what I thought was pushing. And my face was going, like, purple and all. And Mark was like, he thought my head was going to explode. But, like, it was doing nothing.
Like, you're running turn in the chocolate factory. You're turning blue.
Yeah, literally. That's what I looked like. I was so purple. And I wasn't doing it. And, like, I wasn't, like, moving her at all. And in the lead up to labor, like, some midwives were saying that she was sunny side up, which is like basically like her face is up towards the sky, which is not, it's much harder to deliver like that. Usually they'll give you a C-section if they're like that. And then other midwives were like, no way, she's 100% face down. So I don't know if she was like spinning around in there or what the fuck's going on. Cause no, like, it was like everyone was saying different things. And in labor, I think she must have turned or something. I have an appointment coming up with like, the hospital so they can talk me through what happened and why it happened, because I was just like on a different planet. So she wouldn't come out. She was like stuck basically, like at a fucking corner, I don't know, in there. And she, it doesn't matter, didn't matter how much I thought I was pushing, or maybe I was pushing, she wasn't moving. So they gave me an episiotomy, and then they got the
suction. What is an episiotomy for anyone who is not familiar?
It's basically like, so the space between your vagina and your anus, they will cut like a big...
I don't mean to laugh.
They like that's... snip it so that they can get the baby out a lot easier. Like, okay. Which is what it is. Like, and they ask your permission and all in the moment to do it. And I just
didn't care. What else are you going to say? Yes, like obviously.
Apparently it's to like prevent tearing, but like some people argue that tearing is more natural and like your body will heal better if it tears itself instead of like an episiotomy, which is like...
Who knows, yeah.
Who knows? I got an episiotomy anyway and it healed fine, whatever. Who cares? And so they cut me and then they did the suction cup on her head, which is basically like literally looks like a moon cup, but the size of a baby's head, right, with like the little... thing on a moon cup. You have a moon cup, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And they were pulling like the thing, and then all of a sudden it went snap. And Mark was like, the baby's head has come off. And it was like the loudest pop I've ever heard in my life. And I started crying and I was like, what's going on? And I was like, midwife's like looking at my face. And I was like, And she was like, it's fine. We just need to get her out now, because her heart rate kept dropping like the more, the longer she was in there and the more like we were trying and it wasn't going anywhere. So they were like, we're going to do this one more time. But they were like, get everyone, call everyone, like have everyone on standby.
For a section.
They never said section, but they were like, ring the other doctor. Because there was already like two consultants. Usually I think you will just have a midwife until like there's like some sort of complication. There was two consultants in the room and then they were had a third one on the way. So I'm almost sure they were about to send me for an emergency C-section. And then the second time they put the suction cup on and she just like kind of like flew out. And that was it. And then I was only pushing for like an hour and a bit. Like she was born at 8:10. And they put her up in my chest. And I just, like, she stopped crying as soon as I spoke. She was like, wah, wah. And then I spoke and she just like stopped and looked at me. It was like E.T.
Oh my God.
And I was like, who the fuck is that? Like, I was like, I don't know. She did not look anything like I thought she was going to look. And it was so...
In what way?
I was just like, I thought there would be like this natural... And for some people there probably is, but like this like...
It's immediate.
That's
like,
my baby. Yeah. Like, oh yeah, that's exactly. Like, I know by looking at her that she's my baby, but this could have been like any baby they put on me. And I was just like, I do not recognize her. And I just thought I would, which is crazy. So they put her on
It's not crazy. I think it happens to a lot of people.
And I was just like, well, like, so she was still a tiny baby. And I was just like, oh, and I was just all over the place. And then I had to be stitched up. So they had to give her to Mark. And I wanted to do delayed cord clamping, which is where they don't cut the cord straight away so that all the blood from the placenta can get to the baby.
Okay.
So you're not like cutting it off and leaving it in the placenta, basically all the good stuff. It's like a newer thing that's come in the last few years, but like most places will do it now by default. You don't really have to ask for it. But with me, I was like, they were like wanted to cut it straight away and get her lungs suctioned for all the meconium. Yeah. And the midwife was like, no, she wants like this. So they were all just kind of like, like trying to like balance it out with delaying the cord clamping and getting the baby like suctioned and stuff. So they just did it. Like I didn't really get the full like delayed whatever, which is fine. And then they gave it to Mark and I was being sewed up and I was like, Mark, give me your phone so I can take a picture of you. So I took a picture of Mark holding Nora on his chest. Like they were doing skin to skin in the chair beside me. And then there was a woman stitching me up. So for some reason I was like, this is hilarious. And I was like, if this goes wrong, I want to know who did this. So I took a picture. on Mark's phone and there's still a picture of Mark's phone. It's like
a poor woman trying to do her job.
It's like, and there's just like a doctor sewing up a T-Rex. And I didn't tell him and I just gave him back his phone. He said a few days later he was going through the pictures. And he was like, what is this? Why did you take this? But for some reason in my head I was like, oh, if it goes wrong, I want to know who was responsible.
Actually, you're absolutely cuckoo bananas after, like, between the place. Yeah, the drugs and everything. Yeah. And the hormones.
And it was 8 o'clock was when the midwife turnover or whatever, so she was born at 10 past 8, so literally everyone in the room just like ran as soon as she was born. They were like, that was the end of their shift.
Bye bye.
They were like, yeah, bank holiday Monday. They were like, bye. And
up the nurses, up the midwives, up the healthcare workers.
Oh, like, but they're just, yeah, like, they were the loveliest people. But there was like probably like 20 minutes where there was no one in the room and I was like still in the stirrups and I was literally like bleeding out my ass. Like, it was only me and Mark and the baby in the room and I was like, this doesn't, because the one like saw me up and she just went, congratulations, and walked out. And I was like, surely like some, there's someone supposed to be here like helping us. Yeah. Like, what do we do? And then I was like, Mark, and we were just waiting and waiting. And then, but they were having their hand over out, like the nurse's station. Yeah. It was all like, it was fine. But they, so a minor ball was dropped and I was left in stirrups for ages. And then I rang the bell and they came in and there was new, a whole new group of midwives and they were like, what? They were like, who left you like this? They were like, what are you doing? And
they, like, I just love it up here.
Yeah, but like they take, it's not like a hospital bed. It's a hospital bed, but they take half of it away. So like where your arse stops, there's no bed. Like, so it was just, it's not like I was comfortable or like, yeah, it was just, yeah. it was insane. And Mark had a baby. Mark's never held a baby before.
Just like a bomb went off in the room. Like.
Absolutely crazy. And then I got up and I needed to go to the toilet. Or I was like, can I shower, please? And then they were like, yeah. So they brought, like, I was able to go in and shower in that room and all. And then we went back. And that was it. She was born. She was perfect. She was, like, not teeny tiny. She was an average weight. I thought she was going to be huge because me and Mark were huge babies. Mm. She was an average weight. She was like 3.
And if you go over, isn't it sometimes, if you go over,
yeah, you'd expect her babies. She had really long hair, really long dark hair, and really, like, long fingernails.
Did you have heartburn?
Really bad heartburn.
Okay, yeah.
I had Kenneth, like, bringing Tums over from America, which, like flavoured.
They're like mega Gaviscon.
Yeah, yeah, but they're cast. They're, like, smoothie flavoured. Like,
yum.
Whatever. Like, anti-heartburn stuff. Yeah. So I was popping them all the time. And that was it. She was born and it was absolute chaos.
Was it everything you expected?
No, not at, no. And it was so I just felt like it was so rushed, which I think the whole thing with hypnobirthing is that like your body knows what it's doing. Just give it the time and give it the chance and like trust your body and it will do it itself. Whereas I think now, with the way hospitals are and like the understaffing and stuff, and there's probably like many reasons for it, but I feel like they're like, let's get you in, let's get this baby out of you as quick as we can and let's get you out again, like in the safest way possible. And that ends up resulting in a lot of C-sections sometimes. But like, I do think like it probably, I don't know. And like Nora turned, so it probably wasn't the case for me because she was literally like just a bit stuck, I think, I don't really know. And yeah, but I think a lot of people have the experience where they're just like, what the fuck?
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then what about being a mom then?
Who knows?
Shrug.
Yeah.
Or like, what surprised you about the transition of becoming a mom?
Like, I was 15 when Quiva was born.
So I was your younger sister.
Yeah, my youngest sister. And I was like her second mom. They were saying like growing up, like I brought her places and like she'd come have sleepovers in my house and stuff. And like I'd go pick her up from school and drop her to school and like we'd go for lunch and like it was all like very like fun. And I was just like, I was like, this is so much fun, like it's so easy. But like the hard work, well, I wasn't doing any of the hard work. Like I wasn't doing like the nights or like the routines or, you know, I was getting her to treat her to do stuff. But I've always had like, I come from a really big family with loads of fucking cousins and there's always been a baby on the go. Like there's, I've been baby adjacent for what feels like my whole life.
Baby
and
I've adjacent.
Babysat, I've a godson, I used to babysit like loads of different babies and all. And I was just like, it's fine. Like I know what I'm doing. Whereas like Mark had like one niece who he was very close to it, but she's born during COVID. So they never got to like hold her as a baby or anything. Yeah. They got her like when she started walking and toddling and stuff and they were like, yeah, this is great crack. But like he didn't know like what to do with a newborn. So in my head I was like, the challenge is going to be like just showing Mark how to do everything. But actually the challenge is like all of it. It's like a baby, like you're like trying to bath her and you're like, is the water too hot? Is it not? Like, am I holding her the wrong way that she's not able to breathe properly? Like everything is like, what do I do now? Like, and if you don't, like they're so fragile and small that you're like, if I do like the slightest thing wrong, like will she die? Like will she like not be okay, do you know? It's so much pressure. And even when she would go to sleep or whatever, I'd still be like, is she alive? Is she breathing? Is she safe and cool, like cool enough? And because all of it, like it's not, I was like, oh, you know, I'll wrap her up, I'll feed her, she'll go to sleep, I'll go have a shower, I'll do my makeup, like I'll come back, she'll wake up and we'll go for a walk. And like, it was like, babies aren't like robots, you know, they're strange humans that you have to learn about that can't communicate with you other than crying. They have no idea how to tell you who they are or what they like or what they want or what they need other than crying. And Nora had colic as well, so she cried a lot and she was in like really bad pain a lot, which was really hard. And it was just like, they're just so unpredictable. Like even today I'm just like, what do you want? Like, what do you like, why are you giving out?
Yeah.
And she has to like, she's so much more able to communicate now. But it's still like, it's not natural. Well, it wasn't for me that I just go, oh, she must be hungry. Like, and then she was hungry. It was like, okay, let's try this. And you're all just trying to like placate this screaming baby.
And navigate it, yeah.
Yeah. It was so tough.
We have some questions. I'm conscious of time. So, and we got a lot of questions in. So let me have a look and see. We do have time. Yeah. I forgot we started a little bit later than when I actually got here. Things you swore you'd never do till you actually had a baby.
Screen time.
I that's the classic one. Like,
but classic. I was like, I will never have my toddler like be soothed by a fucking screen. Like, they're just gonna learn to be bored and like we used to be. And then it just got to the point where, for my own mental health, I needed something else that she would be in, like that would keep her occupied for an extended period of time, other than me. Or like dangerous shit around the house. Like when I have a shower, she can walk now. So like when I have a shower, like I can't do anything with her. She's too big for a playpen or a cot or anything. So I just have to like have her in the room with me and keep her entertained while I'm trying to have a shower. So it's like I put on YouTube and I give her blocks and I give her books. And like I just like keep, like I'm standing in the shower looking at her. And then it's like, otherwise, if she wasn't looking at whatever, Miss Rachel.
She loves sticking her hands in plugs or something. Did I make that up?
All babies do that. Oh, we had to like, we have a box over those ones.
You're like, that's not unique to Nora. That's no, just a baby thing.
But if she wasn't doing that, she was like playing with the toilet brush, or she's like trying to drink the bleach, or she's like chewing on a roll of toilet roll.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I can just give her YouTube for 10 minutes and she'll sit and watch that, then that's what I'm going to do. So we were like, we will never bring an iPad to a cafe to keep her entertained while we enjoy breakfast. But like, now we're like, yes, absolutely do that.
Everything in moderation, yeah. Babes. Everything in moderation.
For your own mental health.
Have friends pregnant. Was there anything your friends did that you were allergic to / loved?
It's hard to know. There was my sister-in-law, Orla, had Mark's niece. So when Nora was born, she literally showed up at the door with like little like cooling things for your nipples for breastfeeding and like all this stuff from the chemist that I didn't really know I needed. And like even before I needed it, she would just like leave them in the door and go home. And it was one of the best gifts I've like I was ever given was just this little bag of things. She was like, you will need them. The time will come and here they are. And I don't want anything else. I don't want to see the baby. I don't want to see you. I'm going to go home and leave you alone. And it was like the best thing ever. It's really hard. I found it really, really tough at the start to juggle all the visitors because we have like such big families and so many people that wanted to see her. And I just was like not able.
Mm.
So for a lot of people that
which
came...
Which is fair enough.
Yeah, but like you didn't want to say no because people just want to see like, yeah, the baby. Like, yeah. And it's just like, of course,
I know there's,
of course want to see her.
Like, I know there's never like malice in people wanting to visit, but no, it's like, but, I think there's also a lack of awareness around the fact that it's like...
It's okay to stay away for as long as possible. Like, yeah. And some people did, and that was good. But like other people were just like, when I have family that have a baby, I'm like, oh, I'll come see it. Like, it'll be nice. Like, you want me to be in, like, you know, you feel like they want you to come and see their new baby because they want to show it off. But like, reality for a lot of moms, I'd say, is please don't come near me for like 4 weeks at least. And if you do come, make it really, bring food and make it really fucking fast.
Yeah.
Because like, there were some people, like, no, there wasn't some people, but like, the worst thing in the world is sitting there and being like, I really just really need to go to the toilet or like lie down or have a shower or something, and you're just here talking to me and it's like, I don't have time for this right now. Like, there's so many more urgent things.
Or like such a small window here, and
Or like, I was breastfeeding, so I was like legging the baby, be crying, I'm like, oh, I really need to feed her, but I don't want to just like whip out my boob in front of visitors, which is so silly. Like, I absolutely did and should have, but like, people don't realize.
You don't know initially. And it feels weird because you've never done it. Like,
So it got to the point where I was just like, people would come visit and I would just hand her to Mark and I would just stay in bed and he would bring her downstairs to see the visitors and bring her back up to me when she needed to be fed. And I just wouldn't see anyone. And it probably seemed really rude at the time, but I have no regrets about it. I said no to everything.
How long after birth till you start to feel like a human being again?
A whole year. like, genuinely, like, 3 months. You bleed for like at least like four to 6 weeks or something. I don't know, crazy. You know, like, you have a heavy period for like 6 weeks.
You know when the royals have babies and like hours after they're marched out the steps,
yeah.
And like hair and makeup, whatever, and the latest fucking dress from Marks and Spencer's, yeah. And it's probably not even Marks and Spencer's designer. What am I talking about? And it's like, she is in like maternity underwear right now, and like, but I can't even fathom it.
Or like, it's just, yeah. And then your mind is like, the last thing you can think about is like being in front of people. Like, all you're thinking about is like, what the fuck do I do with this baby? Like,
yeah,
it's just a cloud over every other thought. There was like, I've seen people on Instagram who like come out of the hospital with their baby in like gorgeous dresses with their hair done and all, and I was just like, I still can't do that. Like, I don't know. Some people, I don't prioritize
it. Each their own. Sorry, I will. The royal thing made me sound a bit shamey, like, or whatever, but there is just a part of me that's like, I haven't gone through it, and it just seems a bit like, no. Well, obviously, the royal thing is fucking weird because it's like,
yeah,
you're showing off the way. But I don't know, that whole thing just, the mind boggles. But I'm all for doing whatever you can to feel like
yourself.
Good. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
I still can't prioritize my looks. And it was just, but I just don't think it was ever, some people, that's like what they like to do.
Mm.
Makeup and sitting down doing your makeup and hair is nice, but it's not something I prioritize.
Yeah. Okay. Someone asked, how do you know when you're ready? I know people say you're never ready, but I want to so bad.
I would say until it's the only thing you can think about doing. If you have any other like, oh, like we kind of want to build a house, or we kind of want to go, like we kind of want to travel for a year. Like, if you have any other like big things that you want to do and feel like you'd miss out if you didn't do them. And I'm not speaking for me. Like, this was, we didn't, Mark had done his travel and I had no interest in it. This doesn't relate to me. Like, if we had had anything on the radar that we wanted to do as a couple before being like tied down, like this, you wouldn't just not get to do it.
Yeah.
And so we were like, oh, we're not going to be those people who like can't go out on a Friday night because they have a baby. We're just like, we have so many babysitters and like people who want to spend time with her. It'll be fine. Like, we'll be well able to do it. And like, that's not how it worked for us. And I doubt that's how it works for many people. So I would just say, get all your fucking partying, traveling, anything you want to do as a couple, get it, like, make sure you do it. And when it's the only thing left on your list that you really want to do, then that's probably the best time.
Yeah.
But also, if you, like, I don't know, I don't want to be like, don't put it off for like 15 years either. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's the thing. Do you,
you
ever
have to
know?
Weigh it up with, like, everything else you want in life.
Like, I couldn't actually feel less ready. And I thought I'd feel more ready the older I get. And
you,
I feel
but you'll
like,
never be ready either. Like, you actually just, like, even if you feel ready and you do it all by the book and then you have this baby, you'll be like, oh, I wasn't ready
it's
for
a,
this.
Yeah, it's a life-altering event anyway. Like, yeah, that's
you,
the thing.
You, no matter what you do, you can't prepare for and no one else can. I can't tell you. Like, I can tell you all the advice in the world, but, like, no, yeah, you're never ready.
You kind of answer that. Were you scared in the lead up to it? I'm due next week. I think you kind of answer this. Not really, were you?
I just keep, and like when people I know that go into labor now, I'm just like, your body was built to do this. Like you can, like you are a woman and that this is like the main thing that women can do that men can't. Mm. Like, you know, you're built to do it and you will be fine. And well, it all has to end eventually.
Yeah, true. Were you prepared for the monumental shift becoming a mother actually is? Is this something you think we should tell expectant mothers or would it frighten them?
No, I wasn't ready. I felt like going around screaming it. Like there was people due like a little bit after me and I was just like, you know, it's like, it's really bad. Like it's not good. Like warning kind of thing.
Mm.
But there's some like, there must be some chemical in your brain that makes you forget it all. Because when it happened to me, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, why did no one prepare me for this? And my mom was like, you wouldn't listen. You wouldn't have heard it the way you hear it now. But Mark thought when we had it, he would have people who weren't parents would be like, congratulations, that baby, so cute. Are you loving it? Like, how are they sleeping? And people who were parents would be like, how are you doing? Like, you know, like, yeah, are you hanging in there kind of thing where it's more sympathetic. I just don't think you're in that club until you're in that club. There's nothing you can do to like make your, prepare your brain for it, yeah, for your body.
I think it's hard because obviously you have to, like, especially if it's your first, you don't want to be the person that's like coming in fucking negative or like, and I do think there's a difference between like coming in and talking about things or like giving unsolicited advice. So that's another fucking, yeah, category in itself. But I think it's like, because I know my sister has talked about it herself where it's like, she wasn't the first to have a kid, like her group had kids as well. And she was like, it's so weird. Like you think, she was like, I'll tell you when you have your kid. Like, but then it's like, will it even register with me when I do it? I don't know. And she was like, she remembers going to her friends being like, why didn't you tell me? And yeah, it's like, well, we kind of did, but like,
because there's, done,
but
like,
then there's also so much that it's like, it's never going to register until it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But even like you hear all the stuff, it's like, oh, you know, you won't sleep or like it's really tough or like you'll never be able to do this again and all. And it's just like, oh, yeah. And you kind of like laugh it off. And it's not helpful. Like what's helpful is when you're in the throes of it, being able to like
sleeping,
ring someone.
I'm like, is it the fucking, the most boring joke? And like, enjoy, yeah, your sleep now. Most people don't actually sleep that well while they're pregnant anyway. Yeah. So shut the fuck up, first of all.
Yeah.
Not, it's just not like, I know. Like, yeah. I know.
And the whole,
I know. Sleep. Like, I know I'm not going to sleep. It's like, yeah, grand. Play it again, Sam. Let's go for another one here, you know? Give it another try with the jokes, like, yeah, you know? Or actually, just help. Like, just, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah. And it's, like, still, like, Nora's one now, and she still, like, very rarely will sleep, like, wet, like, through the night or well or whatever. But, like, she's not programmed to sleep through the night. Like, she came out of me. Like, she was in me for 9 months and then came out. And, like, the second they come out, you're, like, taught to just, like, train them in a way that they just won't need you at all. It's, like... Get them, breastfeed them until they're like, and then give them solids as soon as you can, and then like get them to sleep in their own cot and all. It's just like, you're just like constantly rushing to make them independent when they're just like babies and they're just like, why are you putting me down? Like, why? I just want to cuddle. Like, I just want to be with my mom. Like, which is so understandable because they're fucking tiny babies and they're like, don't want to be in these big, cold, dark cots. Like, and I can't do the sleep training thing because of my mental health or emotionally. And fair play to anyone who can. But I'm just going to wait it out with Nora. And one day she'll just be like, oh, I'm just going to go sleep now, yeah, in my own bed, because she's that type of gal.
What would you do differently next time around?
I probably bought a lot of shit in advance and I end up using a lot of it. But like, and some people did tell me this, don't buy things until you need them.
Okay.
Like, I'm trying to think of examples, but I was just like I bought a baby camera, like... when I was 6 months pregnant, a baby cam. And like, she didn't need that until probably like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
When she actually went into her own room. Like, she's not going to be away from you in another room unsupervised, like that you'd need a camera for. Maybe they will, but like, I didn't use it from the start. But like, don't buy things until you think you're about to need them, really, because you're just going to spend a lot of money on shit you forget you have. And your warranties all start from when you buy as well, so.
Oh, yeah, fair point.
Yeah.
That's sensible advice. Did Mark prepare much for his role as birth partner?
I think there's very little he could have prepared. I would say, yeah, like, he was all into it. We watched so much, what's it called? Like, The Rotunda. We watched every episode of The Rotunda. We watched every episode of One Born Every Minute. Not every episode, but we watched a lot of One Born Every Minute. And he was bed into it. And, like, it is very realistic, but, like, everyone was... My mom and I was like, don't watch that. That'll scare you. That'll scare you. But I wanted to know, like, the scary shit so I could prepare myself. And I still didn't. But, yes... And no, like, he, like, there's very little he could have prepared himself for. Even I think the next time we go into it, I don't think he'll fucking... I think he'll still be fainting all over the place and, like, crying and all, like, which is... Because it's fucking scary and it's big and it's emotional. And he was there to take the baby the second she was born, and he was there to, like, fucking feed me Snickers when I was getting an epidural, you know? He did everything he could.
Your favourite and least fave parts of pregnancy?
Least fave was, like, the... morning sickness and, like, the you're just more susceptible to, like, fucking UTIs and stuff when you're pregnant for some reason. My favorite was having the excuse that I was pregnant, so, like, people were always, like, pandering to me and, like, giving me, you know, people weren't even, like, people never fucking offered me their seat, but, like, in my family they'd be like, oh, do you know, do you want a hand lift on that, and, like, people were just, like, extra nice to me.
You're like, yes.
Extra nice to me.
Least favorite part?
Morning sickness.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. What is the scariest part
of all of it?
Yeah, probably a hard question.
That is a hard question. The scariest part for me was, like, literally, like, how frantic the doctors and all got in the labour room when I was having her. I was like, when they kind of felt like a bit fucking panicky, then I was like, if they're panicked, what the fuck's actually going on? But they never let me know that. I don't really know if it was that bad or if it wasn't or if it was all in my head. And the scariest part when they come out is absolutely everything. Like, I was, when I was pregnant...
Every single thing.
Yeah, when I was overdue, everyone was like, oh, you must be dying now to get her out. And I was just like, no, like, this is the safest I'll be ever able to keep her. Like, the this is the most I'll ever be able to protect her, is in my belly right here, where I can just, like, have her right there and mind her all the time. And once she comes out of me, like, that's it, game over. And it starts from the second they come out. Everything was terrifying when they're that small. Now she's fucking, she went head first into a pile of stones the other day. She's got, like, scratching her chin and all. I was just like, she's just, I don't know. But when they're teeny tiny babies, it's very scary. Like, even, like, putting them in a car seat, you're like, is their head gonna be, like,
yeah,
placed wrong, and they're gonna be, like, not able to breathe and all. Like, every part of it, keeping them alive, is so scary at the start.
I asked people to send in C-section wisdom as well, obviously. Oh, yeah. Because you didn't have a section. Someone said C-section scar is the most irritating, itchy scar that never seems to go away. Some of this I'm reading and it means absolutely nothing to me now, but yeah, it probably will.
The anatomy scars are like that. They're fucking take forever to heal.
Itchy.
No, not itchy.
Oh, just takes forever to heal.
Itchy gooch.
Like, again, so this is going to mean something to some people. It means nothing to me currently. Golden rule, keep your bra on in the shower and back to the water if trying to stop milk flow.
When you are breastfeeding, I breastfed for as long as I could. And that's a whole other thing. Like, that's, breastfeeding is so fucking hard. So much harder than you think it would be. But I'm glad I did that and I will do it again. But when you're in the shower, your boobs will just start, like, squirting. I shot Mark with my boob, like, like a water gun.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know if I can say that. Family are definitely going to listen to this and they're going to be like, shut up, Braid. But yeah, the heat or whatever it is, like, will just make your...
That is crazy!
Yeah.
Bodies are cool, but, like, kind of lots as well.
After a C-section recovery as well, your body just, like, bounces back so fast.
C-section, everyone should pack peppermint tea or capsules. Trapped wind pain was horrendous.
I took Arnica tablets for, like, your body is, like, internally bruised from labour. So Arnica will, like, help you heal from the inside out. And I really do think it made a huge difference.
I got a C-section after a 4-day induction of nothing happening. Best decision, pelvic floor, 5 stars. And then they did, like, this emoji, like the A-OK emoji. Recovery, surprisingly quick. Body is amazing, except the morphine, people. Yeah, and that was... I think we got a few DMs. Hang on, I'll have a look at them there. And
I have a story about my... not my pelvic floor, my bladder issues after having a baby that I will talk about on Patreon.
Someone else said about the peppermint tablets in the DMs. I had always wanted a natural birth, did hypnobirthing, etc., but ended up with 3 C-sections, 1 emergency and 2 planned. Emergency was hard, scary, and recovery was much harder. Planned were fine. The team doing them were lovely, calm, and even a bit of crack.
Yeah, they play like your favourite song and all.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to be Fall Out Boy, 1975 out the wazoo.
Are you getting a C-section?
Well, I'm not currently pregnant, so I'm not making any of these
but you
decisions
your
right
C-section
now.
Song.
If I have a C-section, we'll see. I don't know.
I don't think you can elect a C-section unless you have like medical reasons. Yeah, until you've had like if you have an emergency one on your first, then you can elect for it. I think after that.
Yeah.
But unless you have like reasons, like medical reasons for needing it. They won't just give you one because you want one for your fanny's sake. Like.
Yeah, obviously we are not medical professionals, so if that's all right.
No, I'm here.
Why are you here for medical advice? But I assume you're right. Anyway, they said take Colpramen tablets for wind pain. Keep a close eye on pain relief and make sure you get it at the right time. Much better to stay on top of the pain. And don't be a martyr. Take all the pain relief offered. You will recover quicker.
That goes for all of it.
Breastfed, no issues, which people sometimes say they struggle with. You're just a bit fenced for the first few days, but in one way, you have no choice but to take it easy, and people have lower expectations of you, which is good too. Also, while I was so disappointed for a long time that I didn't have my natural birth experience, I'm going to do natural in inverted commas there, because like every birth is natural, whatever, and we need to work it out of the vocabulary. But I know this person means, so I'm not giving out to you either, but just so people are aware from our perspective. Well, I was so disappointed for a long time that I didn't have my birth experience. I'm happy enough that my nether regions are well intact versus some of the issues my friends and sisters have had following traumatic natural labours. So, like, it's so different for everyone, it's the thing.
Yeah, and I had, breastfeeding issues, no mastitis, no, latching issues, and it was still, when we switched to formula, I was like, oh, this is why people don't breastfeed. Like, it is so freeing to be able to hand a baby a bottle in public or whatever. But obviously... I still really I'm glad I breastfed and would definitely do it again, but it's fucking, if you don't do it, I can understand why.
And that's the whole, I think fucking touch wood, we're lucky enough to be able to have kids, I'm not saying a fucking peep on the internet, because I've seen the worst from following mammy bloggers for so long and knowing the shit that, as you've already said, fucking, you know what I mean? Why would I open that kind of worms?
People do care, but people don't need to know.
But the other thing then is, because I was talking about it with my sister, and he was like, say you don't have kids then, for whatever reason, people will fucking talk about that as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's true, you can't, and not to generalize, it's predominantly fucking women. And I'm just like, I don't, why are we our own fucking worst enemies?
Projecting, because I have a friend who has a baby now and she breastfeeds wherever she goes, and she's told me before that people, other mammies with babies, are will see her breastfeeding and feel a certain type of way about themselves, I think, and they're like, oh, you know, I really wanted to do it, but I couldn't because of this, and she's just like, okay, you know, whatever, your baby's,
that's
once your baby's
shit.
Fed, I
having
don't care.
The justification.
Yeah, they think they're automatically think she's going to judge them because they didn't breastfeed or whatever, when she's just like, once your baby is fed, your baby, it's a fed baby, is a happy baby, who cares?
Fed baby is a happy baby. I couldn't have said it better. Someone said I had an emergency one in terms of C-section. It was calm as part of my labour. Not scary, love me, my baby. There's a lot of scaremongering about C-sections, but a very positive experience, which I think is important to say. Just bring them out the sunroof. That's what I say. Well, don't always bring them out the sunroof.
No, yeah.
I just think it's a funny expression.
It is a funny
bringing
expression.
Their baby out the sunroof. Classic. That one's kind of long. I might leave that.
Your fanny does bounce back as well. If you're afraid of that, it will. It's boring to do that. But people were mentioning the pains after you have a baby. No one told me about this. When you have a baby, your uterus spends 9 months expanding, and then it contracts in days.
Sorry, what the fuck?
It's the worst.
What the fuck?
Period pains. And when you breastfeed, for some reason, it's worse. So when you're breastfeeding, you can feel your uterus literally contracting, and it's the worst period pain you've ever had. It's literally your uterus shrinking again. But it only lasts a couple of days. And apparently it gets worse with every baby, so whatever I had, it's not that bad. But my mom was it's really bad. So she obviously had 5 babies and remembers it being a lot worse from the end.
Cool. Great. Brilliant. Brilliant.
But fucking it is the best thing ever when... Nora's just mom, and she's running around in her little fucking Zara hoodie, and I get to dress her up every day, and she just gives me hugs now when I say, can I have a hug? And
she's so fucking cute.
Everything you do is the payoff is seeing her grow and come on, and the new things she can do and the skills she has, and just her being kind to people and learning things and like enjoying fucking like being alive, and that's like the payoff for like all the shit, and it is so worth it. Because I just realized I have not said a single positive thing probably until now.
No, you have, but
I wouldn't suffer for the world. Yeah. I just wish I had fucking like known in advance, but you'll never know in advance.
You'll never know. And like, sorry, if Elon Musk invented a chip that was like, here's all the knowledge you need to like have a baby and be pregnant and like labor and stuff, it still doesn't like wouldn't prepare you. Like,
no.
Because every, look, even think of all the messages we just read there, everyone had a completely different experience. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's.
If you see a mom in the street, give her 500 euro because she's doing her best.
Pay moms, pay mothers.
That was the other one.
Don't just say mother in the comments, guys. Pay mothers.
When I had her, I was just like, and she had colic and stuff, and I couldn't get her to stop crying, and like fucking Tesco and all. And I was like, nobody wants their baby to stop crying in public more than the mom.
Yeah.
It's their themselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, and your other moms in your peripheral group will be your greatest source of support and knowledge and stuff. Like, just like lean on people, even if it's like a random person you went to school with. Like fucking, like there's like me and my two best friends from secondary school all had babies in the same year, and like we don't talk very often and we don't meet up like very often at all or at all. But like when I have a question or I need to talk to someone about like baby shit or like what fucking, where do you get baby shoes or like anything, like you just, they're there, and they like, there's no judgment from people asking questions, other moms asking questions, so use them.
Absolutely.
I need to pee so bad, my battery is gone.
Yeah, you feel alright?
My battery, my brain,
everything's
gone, but it's been gone for a year now. I'll bounce back
here, there, and ever. Well, I think that's it. Is it?
Yeah. There's a girl who wrote to us who's about to have a baby. Congratulations. Yes.
Congratulations.
You'll be absolutely fine. If you need advice, if anyone needs advice or help, I can't give advice, but like if you need to talk to someone,
I certainly can't fucking help.
Fucking
but
give me a message, because people do all the time, and I love being able to impart some fucking, I don't know.
Yeah, share. Congrats to all the new mothers, impending mothers, people who are mothers a long time. We love you all. Thank you so much for joining us again. We are on Patreon, patreon.com/bandwagons. If you want to get a bonus episode next week, it'll be there. You can also now subscribe through Apple for slightly cheaper, and it just means you only get the audio episodes. You don't get like videos or anything else, but you'll get like the bonus episodes in your Apple feed.
And it's just a double click, like you're subscribing to an app or whatever. Yeah. There's no fucking sign up. Yeah. You don't need an account or anything. It's way easier.
We're trying to work on something for the Spotify girlies, but I don't know. I don't know if we can. Bree to try to investigate it, and I don't know if we can do it yet. But when we can, we will.
Exclusively to Spotify to do it.
Which Spotify don't want us, and they never will.
Well, just like excludes a lot of other people, doesn't
we
it?
We love you, Spotify. Why don't you love us?
Next week on the Patreon, we're going to talk about something that happened to Fionnuala recently.
I can't talk about this on the main episode.
But I have an embarrassing story about pee in my pants, so I can talk about that.
Oh, great. And you know, and we need to do the episode on the irrational enemies, because we got a good few like kind of funny replies on that, so we
did
can
we
tie
ever
it all
do
in.
A Miley Cyrus episode?
Good question. Don't know. Let's check. And you might get that.
I think that would be like...
Yeah, we should do that.
We should do it.
We should
point.
Do that. Yeah, 100%. We're going to add it to the list. But anyway.
Okay, Fionnuala has to go home.
Okay, I do. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.